The text for our consideration today is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In his chapel last week, President Eichstädt noted that during this time of the school year, and especially this year, we naturally begin to ask, what next? He went on to show from God's word that whatever different plans we think we have, the Lord has definite plans for us as witnesses of his gospel message. Today, I would like us to consider similar questions that may consume us right now. When or how long? Again, at this time of the school year, many students, especially seniors, are looking forward to the end of the semester. They may even be counting down how many days or even hours are left until summer break begins. The end of the school year provides a specific date to count down to, but even so, we may still ask ourselves, when is the semester going to be over, or how long until summer break? As we all have learned throughout the last month or so, though, what can make us even more frustrated is having to endure something for an indefinite period of time. How long, we wonder, until things get back to normal? When will we get to enjoy all our normal activities and routines? As Christians, we also wonder, when will we be released from this world and all its suffering and pain? The words from our text today provide us the comfort and assurance of reward as we wait on the Lord. We usually think of waiting in a negative context. Nobody likes to wait in line at the store. Nobody likes to wait on hold during a phone call. Nobody likes to sit and wait in traffic. Indeed, many times we are impatient without any good reason. I've often found myself impatiently waiting for a stoplight to turn green, only to realize that I'm really in no hurry to get anywhere. Our dislike of waiting definitely reflects our sinful nature, our desire to make things happen on our schedule and under our control. And such impatience can be quite short-sighted. We are always looking forward to the next external goal that we think will make us happy. The new job, the new relationship, the new car, or the new house. If we focus only on these earthly goals, though, we will continue to find ourselves impatiently waiting for a happiness that never arrives. Furthermore, our dislike of waiting can demonstrate an impatience with God. How long will he let me suffer loneliness? When will he relieve me of my physical pain? We can also think of this impatience in more spiritual terms. When we are tormented by the overwhelming guilt of our sins, we may ask, how long must we suffer? Our complaints might echo the opening verses of Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? We all suffer these thoughts of impatience that make waiting seem very negative. And if we continue to view our lives through an earthly perspective, waiting is quite undesirable. The waiting discussed in our text today, however, is just the opposite. For we are reminded here on whom we are waiting, God, and of the blessings that those who wait on the Lord receive. Indeed, this idea of waiting here, since it is on the Lord, can be seen as a confident hope or expectation. We are not waiting on something insignificant or fallible like humans. Rather, we are waiting on the Lord. This idea is highlighted earlier in this chapter as Isaiah emphasizes the insignificance of humans. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This chapter goes on to contrast the wisdom and power of God with the puny and insubstantial thoughts of humans. For example, we read in verse 12, Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? The answer, of course, not us, but God. Nations, to God, are less than nothing and worthless. The earth's inhabitants are like grasshoppers. God brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. In this chapter, before we are instructed to wait on the Lord, first we see the ridiculousness of thinking that we as humans have all the answers or the correct perspective to understand when how long is too long or when something should happen in our lives. What we are waiting on is the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. What we are waiting on is the Lord, the unchangeable covenant God who has promised to redeem us. With this in mind, we realize that our timetable is insignificant, and our problems don't seem so huge and unsolvable. And they are not, if we put them into the Lord's hands, for we read in verse 29, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. At the end of chapter 40, we see the reward of those who wait on the Lord. He shall renew their strength, they shall mount up like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. While we on our own become weak and frustrated, when we wait on the Lord, He gives us strength, energy, and stamina. He supplies the very strength and patience we could never summon on our own. The Lord's renewing of our strength comes from the faith that the Holy Spirit has kindled in our hearts. That faith also allows us to see our impatience with our problems in the larger perspective of God solving our biggest problems, sin and death. The assurance of the empty tomb on Easter morning promises us that whatever pain and suffering that we are enduring now will be wiped away in the eternal bliss and happiness of heaven. Let us pray then that when we begin to ask ourselves, how long, that we are reminded through faith to wait on the Lord. He will renew our strength through our faith in the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. Amen.
The hymn selected for this morning's chapel address is hymn 36 from the Lutheran hymnal.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in His grace.